You're listening to the PGIM India Insights podcast series by PGIM India Asset Management.
Hello and welcome to our PGIM India Insights series. This is a podcast dedicated to bringing you a deeper understanding of the markets and investment strategies from the experts at PGIM India Asset Management. In this episode, Puneet Pal, Head Fixed Income PGI India Mutual Fund, and Jatin Gulati break down RBI's latest policy decision to hold rates steady for the third consecutive meeting and what it means for investors. They discuss the revised inflation and growth outlook, the central bank stance on currency stability, and the evolving global and domestic risks. Over to you, Jatin.
Hello everyone, welcome to yet another podcast from India Insights. I'm Jatin Gulati and today I have with me Puneet Pal, Head of Fixed Income at PGIM India Mutual Fund. So as we all know that, you know, RBI just recently came out with its June 5th policy, and while the headline was largely on expected lines, the message indeed was more powerful. Rates unchanged, tone steady, and a clear message. India isn't blinking in the face of global uncertainty. As we all know that we are navigating geopolitical situation in the West Asia, and domestically the next trigger, which I think, you know, everybody's eyeing, is on the monsoon. The policy stance isn't just a pause, it's a signal that India intends to navigate volatility with composure, protect the currency through smart inflow measures, and preserve growth momentum without compromising long-term resilience. So Puneet, let's start with the big picture. The RBI has now paused for three consecutive meetings, again leaving the repo rate at 5.25, and had revised the inflation and growth forecast for this financial year. So what has been your assessment, Puneet, on the overall policy outcome? And actually, what message is RBI trying to send to markets?
First of all, thank you, Jatin. RBI has, as we all know, has left the policies unchanged, but they have revised their inflation and the growth forecast. They have revised upwards the inflation forecast, whereas they have revised downwards the growth forecast. And in terms of signaling, I'll just say that what RBI and the government or the policymakers are trying to do is that they are trying to encourage FX flows. And in the face of the global geopolitical uncertainty, the current policy seems to be wait out or ride out the current uncertainty and not to take any knee-jerk actions and just wait and see how the events unfold. So I think in that perspective, what they have done is that they are trying to calm the markets. Okay. They are trying to encourage FX flows, and by taking a series of measures, they have tried to overcome the short-term issue of rupee depreciation, which was a focus of RBI for a long time. And I think in this policy also, apart from revising the inflation and the growth forecast, the entire focus was on INR, how to bridge the BOP, expected BOP deficit for FY27. And in that context, I think RBI has been largely successful. We already seen the rupee appreciating quite a lot, and we have seen, in fact, debt inflows, more than 2.5 billion of debt inflows in this month alone. So from that perspective, I think the move is really to calm the markets and get these inflows. So at least the near-term pressure on the rupee the rupee gets a reprieve from the near-term pressures. But I think from a longer-term perspective, we have to wait and see if government undertakes any structural reforms to increase the competitiveness or the productivity of the Indian economy, because in the long run, probably we will have to see more reforms coming out from the government side. But overall, from a short-term perspective, the immediate focus on INR, I think that purpose is solved, because the expected inflows are to the tune of around $75 billion by these various measures. And that should be good enough, at least for this year, in terms of bridging the BOP deficit. And then we'll go ahead and see how the monsoons fare. As you rightly said earlier in the podcast,
yeah.
So monsoons are likely to be the next trigger. But at least for the time being, I think the measures taken by RBI are adequate enough to stabilize the currency.
Great. In continuation to that, another pressing issue which the MPC mentioned has been the input cost pressures which have been coming because of the geopolitical headwinds. And obviously, we have been more affected because of the increase in crude oil prices. But I think what they also mentioned that the inflation has not been fully manifested in the consumer prices. So what does this mean, Puneet, for the food inflation going ahead? And how do you see the yields reacting to it, especially in the second half of this year?
Sure. I mean, I'll say it's not only the food inflation, but the overall inflation or the overall consumer price basket, probably which can see an upside, which RBI has already forecasted by increasing the inflation target by 50 basis points to 5.1 for FY27.
Right.
But I think food inflation will obviously depend a lot on how the monsoons fare or how the rains come in. So we have better irrigation facilities. Going ahead, I think we have enough or adequate food stock, especially of rice and wheat. So from that perspective, I think it should be, inflation on that count should be controlled. But again, vegetable prices or some cereals can be impacted if the monsoon is below normal, which is the expectation. So we'll wait and see how the government proactively takes any steps to control food inflation. So I think that is more of an outcome that probably will come to know after a couple of months or 3 months. Meanwhile, if we look at the other aspect of inflation right now, the oil marketing companies are still having under recoveries. I mean, if oil prices continue to stay high, though they have come down quite a lot over the last 10 days. Brent is trading around $80 right now. So in case the under recoveries go down further, then obviously the pressures will also reduce. But if oil prices were to jump higher again and the under recoveries continue, then probably we can see further increases in retail fuel prices, which we already seen in the last 1 month. But I think from a rate perspective or from a yield perspective, the issue is that with the policy repo rate at 5.25 and the projection of RBI at 5.10 for FY27 in terms of CPI inflation, the real rates are almost negligible. And we need to keep positive real rates, especially given the pressure on INR that we have seen off late. So we are of the view that probably in second half of this year, RBI is going to hike rates. And we think that probably 75 basis is what we are expecting RBI to hike rates just to keep the real rates positive. Because even if CPI inflation were to undershoot RBI's projection of 5.1, suppose it sustains at around 4.8 or something, even then from a real rate perspective, you can factor in 50 to 75 basis of rate hikes. We expect 75 basis of rate hikes throughout FY27, beginning in second half of FY27. And as a result of that, we expect the yields to rise gradually, both in response to higher policy rates and also the fact that probably there can be a potential slippage in the fiscal deficit because of both lower than expected growth as well as higher subsidies or higher government expenditure. So from that perspective, we think the yields probably will trend higher gradually over a period of time.
Any particular band you would like to mention for the listeners?
I think it's very difficult to give a band, but broadly we'll expect the 10-year benchmark to trade between 6.75 to 7.25. That's a very broad.
Sure, Puneet, thank you. Another notable announcement by RBI has been some key measures they have mentioned to boost the FX inflows. And I think it has been more pronounced in terms of we have been reading the headlines of FCNRB deposits. So what is the expected inflow, although there have been multiple news print which are coming, but as per your assessment or your channel checks, what is the ballpark inflow expected? And I think there is also what I've heard that the inclusion of the next bond index is also coming for review very soon. So what is the kind of inflow expected overall, and how do you see rupee getting some support, although off late we have seen some retracement coming in rupee? But in your assessment, how do you see both these measures, getting accounted?
So overall, the market analysts are expecting anywhere between $75 to $80 billion of inflows. The more optimistic forecasts are talking about $100 billion of inflow also.
Right.
But I think overall, what we have to see is that there are two aspects to the inflows. One is obviously the fact that if there's a BOP deficit of, let us say, around $50 billion or $60 billion this year, then a lot of this inflows will just go towards bridging the BOP deficit.
Okay.
And then we'll also have to wait and see that how RBI unwinds its short dollar position in the forwards market, which is upwards of $100 billion. So from a inflow perspective, whether it's $75 billion or on the optimistic side, $100 billion, I think it's going to be helpful for the rupee. and for domestic liquidity. So on the rupee side, we are optimistic that probably we can see the rupee stabilizing and maybe appreciating towards 93 to a dollar, especially if the dollar weakens going ahead in the rest of the year. So it depends on both how the dollar index behaves as well as whether RBI wants the rupee to appreciate or they just want to increase the FX reserves by not letting the rupee appreciating and buying whatever inflows come in. So overall, I think yes, there will be a bias of some rupee appreciation, but largely we see the currency as stable. And secondly, the domestic liquidity will obviously get a boost. Short-term rates have already come down. They can come down a bit more, especially on the money market side. But I think from a medium to long-term, lot of variables will be at play, both from a geopolitical issues to the attractiveness of the Indian economy from a relative growth perspective. So I think overall one has to wait and see if government takes more measures to improve the structural competitiveness of the Indian economy. As these measures, the RBI measures which they have taken are short-term oriented or short-term in nature, because these are swaps which are of 3 and 5 year tenure. So obviously the flows will move out after 3 and 5 years respectively. So from a long-term perspective, we need to see if these measures are backed by more long-term reform from the policymakers.
Sure, Bunny, thank you. But when you say short-term rates, obviously, so from the listener's perspective, so basically CDCP rates have corrected by what I read, closer to 30, 250 bips.
Yeah, in fact, more. We had seen from the highs, I can say that the very short-term 3-month bank CDs rates have almost dropped by 80, 90 basis points. That's a lot. And even in the 1-year segment, they have dropped by almost 50 to 60 basis points.
Oh.
So overall, there has been a clear winner in terms of these measures, which is the short end of the yield curve, because of the expectations that liquidity will be quite surplus going ahead on back of these flows. And obviously, we think that these measures will definitely help the rupee also to stabilize. But as I mentioned, from a long-term perspective, we need to probably see more measures taken by policymakers to sustain these kind of flows on their own. Right now, RBI is giving them an incentive by absorbing the hedging cost.
Right.
We need to see these flows as a part of the attractiveness of the Indian economy. Their flows come on their own rather than because of any favorable cost which is borne by the central bank. So from that perspective, we think longer term you need probably more underlying reforms in the economy to attract these kind of flows.
Great, thanks Puneet. So maybe lastly, to sum up, what are the key risk areas that investors should consider while deciding their debt allocations, from here onwards? And maybe what is the best tenure or maybe strategies, from your perspective, would you like to advocate, to the listeners or to the investors?
Well, we have been advocating investments in short duration products. I think for the last 6 months, almost we have been advocating investments in short term products or short duration products.
Right.
Where maturity is up to 1 year, because the yields were quite elevated at that point on the yield curve and they were looking quite attractive from a risk reward perspective. Even now, in spite of the yields falling over the last couple of weeks or 3 weeks, we still believe that from a risk reward perspective, up to 1 year is what we see the sweet point on the yield curve in our view. Because currently, if we see, the risk can manifest both from global and domestic variables, as they are very uncertain times, and these are very uncertain times and various scenarios can play out. The Middle East peace deal, though it has happened, but it still remains fragile. RBI measures, as I've said earlier, to attract capital inflows will definitely help in the short run. They're already helping in the short run, but from a longer term perspective, we need to see more measures. A deficit monsoon is definitely a risk, both on inflation and growth. So overall, we believe that First of all, debt investors or any investor should look at their respective risk appetite, their investment horizon, and then decide which products to invest into. But from our view, basis our risk reward perspective, we see that low duration products are better bet right now.
Great. Thank you, Gunit. I think that's really helpful and insightful. So what I can sum up from the conversation and your key takeaways, Puneet, that obviously, you know, we are surrounded by geopolitical headwinds. And as we look ahead, the message for investors is that the market rewards discipline, not speculation, of course. And with inflation risks simmering, global yields rising, and domestic variables still evolving, the smartest move is to stay anchored. Focus on short duration funds as of now. And obviously, it has to be aligned with your investment horizon.
Yeah, I think that pretty well sums up. And also the fact that internationally, if we see yields have been elevated and rates have been increased, ECB has raised rates. In fact, FOMC, the US Fed, has indicated a rate increase or a higher probability of a rate increase by the end of 2026.
Yes.
If we talk about emerging markets, and Indonesia has hiked rates by almost by 100 basis points in the last 1 month, including an out of policy meeting hike. So overall, we believe the shorter end of the curve is a better bet right now from a risk reward perspective. And once the things become clear, maybe later on in the year, then investors can have a relook. But currently, we will advocate the short end of the yield curve as a better opportunity from a risk reward perspective.
Great, thank you. The whole message, I think, is very clear. Puneet, thank you so much for your, you know, insightful session, and I look forward to hear from you soon. Thank you, listeners, and please stay tuned for the next session very soon.
Mutual fund investments are subject to market risks. Read all scheme-related documents carefully.
You're listening to the PGIM India Insights podcast series by PGIM India Asset Management.